agenda, so hopefully those that are in the meeting have grabbed the meeting notes from last time. We have an approval on those. Okay, thanks. Next on the agenda, the MOU update. This was from the Department of Health, so that is finalized.
Finally.
So, yeah, we appreciate your work on that. So I know we've been working with Avina on the first steps and getting vital statistics. So, yeah, we're excited about that.
Yeah, thank you. We're very, very careful.
Yes.
Everybody else is, I guess, too, but anyway. Yeah,
that's good. We have a meeting with them to go over the exportable.
Right, so I've requested that Ryan Burton, who is the project manager on the DTS side, meet with individuals from UDOH, specifically the individuals who Navina has informed me would be the most relevant individuals to have a meeting with in relation to having a conversation about the exportable application, which it's already actually been installed in your systems, but it's been so long since we installed it in your systems that the individuals who were part of the original meeting are gone, or
Jeff Duncan,
is that the last name?
Yeah.
He's gone, for example. So we need to sort of retrain, re-educate a whole new group of individuals who are going to be using the exportable application. So Ryan Burton is the person who's going to be heading and leading that those efforts. So we hope to have a meeting within the next 2 weeks or something like that to come over, train, install the application. I think in the meantime, we've pared down the number of variables from 400 down to like 200 for the birth certificate. There was just so many variables that were sort of irrelevant to what we were trying to accomplish, right? And same thing for the death certificates. So I think it was 250 down to like 150 for the death certificate. So we don't really need to know where the person was embalmed, right? Like, that's...
Name of the mortuary.
Yeah, mortuary. Like, that's not necessary for us. So we went through all that, and that's been pared down. Navina has that list. And so I think the next step is for Navina to work with internally within the Department of Health and fill out Appendix A on the MOU, which specifies what data variables, which, from my understanding, is since we've already provided her a pared-down version of that, she needs to speak internally, if that's okay. And then we will just add those to the Appendix A. Once that's been amended, then if the timing fits in such a way that we've already gone over to DOH, installed the application, everyone's been trained, at that point in time, it's just a matter of pushing data to us.
Great.
So.
Okay.
I'm still getting with you. If there's anything I can do to help facilitate, let me know.
Sure.
Navina's
really on top of it.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Personnel update.
Yeah, so some personnel update. Because of the timing of these meetings, the first personnel update comes a little bit late. I know most of you have already perhaps met Kelsey, but she's our new researcher. She's currently focusing on UDRC IA1, which is the intergenerational poverty, and she can give a very brief introduction to who she is.
Hi, I'm Kelsey. As Jeremiah mentioned, I started back in January. I'm coming from a pretty heavy research background, but in a different field. So just learning some new things and helping UDRC figure out research guidelines and things like that.
What field?
I have a PhD in ecology.
Yeah, so we're really happy to have Kelsey. I know it's kind of late because of the timing of the last advisory board, and I think you've met Kelsey.
No, I've never.
Oh, you haven't? Okay. And so she'll play. So currently, the research project that she's undertaking is not part of the research agenda per se. In the future, obviously, she'll be assigned projects that are going to be part of the research agenda. So she'll be working with all of you moving forward. So. As far as the other personnel update is, we have a new intern, so Tyler King. And so she is focusing right now on learning R, SQL, and D3 in the next for the next month, and then she'll be assigned an intern project at that point in time. And then she can give a little introduction herself. So.
Hi, thanks for having me. So I am currently pursuing dual master's certificates at the University of Utah, one in statistics and then another in geographic information systems, or GIS. I currently work full-time for the lieutenant governor, but I found myself with an empty summer semester and I wanted to continue learning. So I reached out to UDRC on a whim and graciously provided me a space and an opportunity to learn. So I look forward to in any way I can for the next 3 months or so.
Yeah. It was a good confluence of timing. We always wanted to have an intern, and I think it just sort of organically came about. So we're happy to have Tyler. So so I think that's personnel updates. Any questions about those updates on the phone? No. Okay.
Who's on the phone? Who's
that? Carrie Mayne.
Scott. No, I don't have any questions. That's great. Thanks for introducing them. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Carrie and Scott are on the, yeah. So the next item is research updates. And so just a brief general statement before the researchers update the group on research. One, the research labels here have been mislabeled. So it should be RA2 and RA3, respectively. So that's just a minor error there. But and then second, prior to our bagels and research events that's going to be occurring in June 20th, it is our intent to meet with the partners or the specific partner that is associated with a specific research product prior to that, so that they have a chance to look at the research before we sort of kind of present it ahead of schedule. So just giving you guys, everyone here, a heads up on that. And this really applies to, obviously, UTech. It's been so long, but... And
we've had three acronyms in 3 years.
I know. So this really applies to UTech and Zach, and obviously as well as Yushi and Carrie, so... at her group. So,
can I ask the RA2, the outcomes for those working while attending college, are you looking at that only from a Yushi perspective, or are you looking at technical college students too who are also working?
It was just Yushi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. We really wanted to provide a product specific to the institutions to kind of to begin with.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
So, Kelsey will provide an update on IA1, which is IGP. And so on. So would you like to go ahead and do that, Kelsey?
Sure. So the IGP project is sort of a collaborative big report with a bunch of other agencies. And my portion is sort of just combining data from all the different agencies and trying to figure out sort of what the correlative variables in people that are experiencing IGP are, so looking at demographic data, race, education, and then the DWS wages and workforce data. So essentially, the project was set up such that we have a reference group of people that are similar to individuals experiencing IGP, but they haven't used the state public assistance for as long, which is how IGP is defined using 12 months of public assistance as a child and as an adult. So basically, it's just the report is a logistic regression comparing these two groups. Preliminarily, the correlates of IGP are if you're female, you're more likely to experience IGP. Same for being Native American. And the longer you spend on public assistance as a child, the more likely you are to experience IGP as an adult. Conversely, if you have a lot of education, if you have a college degree, you're less likely to experience IGP. So the first draft of the report is finished, and that will go through the peer review process in the next couple of months. And then that will be coming out in, I don't remember when the report is, the poll report is supposed to be done.
So we have a deadline of July, I think it may be July 19th, actually, to complete, so us and the partners to complete the longitudinal study. And then in October, the final product will be released. So the IGP report will be released at that point in time with not just the longitudinal DORA, but also the partner longitudinal studies and the descriptive statistics associated with the 2018 IGP cohort. So, anything else? Great. Thank you so much. By the way, Kelsey's being incredibly humble about what she sort of described as the analysis that she's conducted on this IGP report. I think it'll become very obvious once we publish it, that is quite in-depth and very analytical. So.
Is this report for the legislature, or is it?
So it's part of a law that requires a report on, and I think.
We produce it every year, and this year we're taking a little different approach in doing an actual longitudinal study as well. But we send the data to NVIDIA, and there's another person at Health that we sent it to previously. But yeah, so we're getting data from Health as well. Yes, it's required that we produce this report.
Allison, do you want to provide an update?
Sure. I'll send a little closer since this would pertain to Cherry. You should be able to hear. So my research, which is on educational outcomes for working students, is in the peer review stages. So after I implement all those changes, I will then send it to you, Shane. You guys can provide some institutional knowledge, and I'll have a chance to do that before we present the research at the Research in Bagels conference. So I'll have plenty of time to do that. And in the meantime, I am working on my presentation for Bagels and Research, as well as the data narrative, which will Brittany is graciously putting together for me. It looks beautiful, so I'm very excited. And some interesting findings. You know, we looked at the effect of working on time to graduation, retention, whether or not a student attended full or part-time, as well as average GPA, and we did find that working had a significant effect on all of those outcomes. So, and breaking up by demographic, we found some really interesting things by age cohort. So I think you'll find it really interesting. So any questions for me?
Are the effects generally negative for the variables you mentioned?
They are negative, okay. Yes. And we defined working as working for four quarters of a year. We did not have hours worked. We felt like that was a pretty good proxy for looking at the effects, especially since effects are probably going to be cumulative. And a big reason we would include UTEC is a lot of the prior research looks at any degree. 1-year certificate, 2-year, 4-year, 5-year. And we really wanted to homogenize to get a good idea as to what the effects are. Anything else?
So this won't. Thank you so much for that update, Allison. So this is obviously not the last chance you guys will have to ask questions about the research, right? So at the Bagels and Research meeting, we will be. So Allison will be providing a presentation on this research, and there will be plenty of time for questions to be asked. Same thing with Skylar as well. So, and also I want to reiterate that all of our research projects have two products, right? One is a research document, and then which our researchers produce, and then the other one is a data narrative, which our UX researchers produce. So they work in tandem to complete a research project. So
did this your project look at being married or married with children as other variables?
We broke it up into two age cohorts, looking at students 17 to 29 and 30 to 54, but we did not have marital status at all.
No.
So it's kind of, and we broke it up by gender as well, and looking at particularly part-time and full-time attendance was a pretty significant finding in that respect. And retention by working, non-working, by age cohort was pretty telling as well. So we didn't have marital status or kids, but we did try to get as close that information as we could.
Just curious that you can't do everything.
Yeah,
yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
If we had marriage licenses, then we could. So,
actually get to that. So
yeah.
Any questions on the phone regarding Allison's research project?
I assume you'll be able to incorporate the kids part in a few years when you get the birth certificate information. You'll be able to link.
Right. You could tell when a person, or at least because in the birth certificate has as mother parents. And father.
Yeah.
And so we could, with the way that we match across, we could find out whether or not like there was a birth event in a specific time period. And so we could then maybe go back and look at that stuff. So
this doesn't tell you if the mother and father are still together, unfortunately.
No. But at least we could make assumption that that person has children, right? And so therefore we understand the relationship between having children and, like, you know, time commitments or financial commitments and stuff like that. So
that's what I was thinking about, financial commitments besides school.
Right. So, Skylar?
Great. My report is currently on a second draft and is on Jeremiah's desk right now. Some of the things the report looked at is 1 year and 5 year increased wages of CTE graduates. 1 year increased tax collection is broken down into certificates that require over 900 classroom hours and less than 900 classroom hours. Retention is looked at and broken down into 1 year and 5 year, as well as a payback period where two models are shown, one where the comparison group uses PUMS data, and the other comparison group is inflated wage data from the year prior to entering their certificate program. The study shows some conclusions where certificates that take over 900 classroom hours showed a 32% wage increase over 1 year. Less than 900 credit hours showed a 20.5% increase over a year. The payback period varied between the models, usually between about 10 years to about 11.2 years. And the most recent data for additional tax collected after 1 year of getting certification in total was $3.41 million. So it's moving along well, and hopefully I'll have a draft for you to review and look over here within the next week.
Thanks. Yeah, so like sort of you requested, which we were already thinking about, sort of giving the partners a chance to look at the reports before we present them in a little more detail than what we presented them today here at the Bagels and Research event. Yeah. So, any questions about that, Zach?
No, I'm excited to see the report.
Something that's not really included here in the research update is I know that we promised that we were going to be updating the group on data releases. So there's been two major data releases that have occurred. One was for the Launch My Career project for, and this is a UEM product in partnership with USHI and the American Institute for Research. And here they were looking at sort of median wages, 1 year through like 18 years out. We were only able to provide 7 years because we have only 2012 through 2018 really. And so the main reason or the main thrust is to create a tool where individuals or prospective students can go and check to see provided specific parameters, and then they're given information as to sort of what is the expectation for income in the future based on the decisions they made about what type of really occupation or what type of SIP-related decision they are making. So so that was delivered to the American Institute for Research because UEN is contracting. UEN is sort of like USHI's DTS, right, the sort of structure. And then they've used the American Institute for Research, or AIR, as a contractor to really produce this tool since they've done it for other states. So we've released that data. And then the other one was a Kempsey Gardner
requests for, it's really also a partnership with Yushi, and they're looking at the economic impact of Yushi, and Corey will provide a quick update on that. So.
Yeah, so they were interested in particularly looking at non-resident students, and students with a non-resident status, to get an idea for how much money those individuals bring into the economy. So the purpose was to get an idea of the economic impact of non-residents, and particularly non-residents who were attending school through a Yushi institution. And so we basically matched Yushi records to some of the wage records we have to provide some of the wages that they're receiving. The idea being if they take the amount of money they're spending and subtract the amount of money that they make in Utah wages, that the difference there is money coming from outside the state. So they want to kind of get an estimate for the amount of money coming outside the state. And then the second part of that was also to look at what type of industries then those individuals go into and how many of those individuals stay in Utah after graduating from a Yushi institution.
So two data releases, obviously completely aggregated and also secondary disclosure verified, meaning any ends that were less than 10, we obfuscated. So I think this is really being able to provide updates to you guys about data releases is very rewarding for me because it feels like we're finally at the point where sort of people can come to us and we can produce data for them without really, major involvement from the partners, right? In having to create data sets and stuff like that. So we're sort of proving our value in these sort of data releases every single time we do that. So any questions about that? Yeah. Okay. Seeing none, I'll just move forward. So the next one is our technical update. So as far as the UDRC system, we are currently in beta. So I'm very, very happy to announce that. So if you look at a development process for a major IT software development, so you have obviously the development stage. Then at some point in time, it goes into alpha. If alpha proves to be stable, then you move into beta. So beta is right before production, right? So that is where we're at currently. So the team is testing the system, meaning the UDRC team, the administrative UDRC team is working on using the system. So we have provided feedback to DTS regarding some issues that we found. Most of them are pretty minor. So they're working. So DTS is now working on, making changes to the beta system so that we can incorporate the changes that have been laid out. So, but for as far as timelines are concerned, for the delivery of the UDRC system into production, it's going to go like this. So in May 14th through May 20th, which is this week, they're going to be fixing bugs and identifying issues through user acceptance testing. Then May 20th, we'll have a code freeze, meaning that no more changes will happen to the UDRC system at that point in time. And then May 22nd through the 23rd, we have pre-production activities such as adding the product link to the production UDRC website and other sort of back of the scene sort of things that we have to do at the technology level, like setting up servers and so on for the actual production infrastructure. And then on the 24th of May, the system should go live to production. So if everything goes according to plan, we should be done with building out of the UDRC system, at least phases 1, 2, and 3 by May 24th, which is pretty monumental for us here at the UDRC. So
this may be a naive question, but you're doing all these projects, even though you're not completely...
So the system and the data are two very different things, right? So I don't know if you remember, we talked about phase 1 and 2. Once we had phase 1 and 2 completed, then we could start using the data. Phase 3 was a lot about the front-end usage of external researchers requesting data and us having a way to manage those data requests and so on. So the data and the system are really only relevant to phase 1 and 2. phase three, like I said, is about being able to manage those external researchers' requests.
So none of these are external, are they at all? None of these are external research, they're all from partners that want to...
Correct. This is part of our research agenda. So everything that they've provided an update for has all been part of the research agenda. So, yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions? And so by the June 20th time when we have bagels and research, one of the things we're going to be doing is we're going to be presenting the external researcher application to the groups there, to the individuals there. So walking everyone through how to request data for our system, how it's all going to look like, how it's going to work, and so on. So
it's going to be through a website. I think you've talked about a website before, right?
You yes.
Presented something as sort of a
correct.
Rough draft or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. You okay, you have a question, Zach? No?
No, just the processing.
Okay. So then moving forward from phase three, so phase three shall end late May, then we need to move into phase four. And the phase four will include things like MPI enhancement, so master person index algorithm enhancement. So if we really think about the MPI right now, it's quite simplistic in its approach. So we are meeting today actually to significantly increase the complexity and hopefully the ability for the MPI to assign proper identity. And in addition to this, with the introduction of birth and death certificates, we really need to integrate those data variables into the MPI as well. So it really changes our entire structure, because if you think about it, the birth certificate, when someone is born, that person should be assigned a UDRC ID regardless, because they're a new entity, right? We know for certain that when someone is born, they're a new entity. We've never seen them before, effectively. So that's something that we have to add to the MPI, for example. So the degree of complexity is going to move significantly from what it currently is, which includes first name, last name, and all the other demographic information as some sort of way to probabilistically, and then using SSN and so on to do deterministic matching. We are now going to have to do a little more complicated, more complex algorithm for how to assign identities. Yeah.
Is there a timeline into having a unique identifier on birth certificates?
Sorry, what do you mean?
Do you have a plan on having that UDRC unique identifier on birth certificates? Is that just something you would like? Is there a plan to do that?
So as soon as we have birth certificates, we're going to enter them into the UDRC system, and they're going to be assigned a UDRC ID.
Okay, but that will be unique. Only UDRC will know that unique identifier. I'm just thinking for our purposes at USBE,
uh-huh.
having problems with the SSIDs, duplicates,
yeah.
that we've toyed with that idea. So that's just something you don't anticipate sharing.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't.
Siri's listening to me.
Yeah. I would.
They're always listening to
yeah.
me.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that we not share the.
Might.
Well, I think it's a worthwhile pursuit
sure.
to have a way for us to use the UDRC ID at every single contact point moving forward after the person's born, because then we can keep track of that person or not. We can stitch their information far more efficiently than what we're currently doing.
And people are going to call this a state social security number.
I wouldn't call it a social security number, but I would call
you know
it,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, like a unique ID.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm just wondering how that relates. So, as you know, in our Department of Health, we have a master person index also, because we need to link all our different databases for our purposes. I guess there'll be no relationship between ours and yours. Let's be separate.
Yeah, they live in separate worlds, really. So, but you guys are more than welcome to use ours.
That's
so,
good to know.
So. So, yeah, MPI enhancements, UI enhancements associated with the administrative application as well as the ER application. We've already, just in using it, we've already noticed things that need to be changed. All of these things are really not relevant to you as users. It's more about us as users of the system. So, the integration of the Department of Health data, and then integrating, we're hoping to integrate National Student Clearinghouse data as well. And we also need to create a data manipulation layer. So we've noticed that there's some issues that are systemic in some of the data that we receive. And so one thing we like to do is make changes to the data before it goes into our research schemas. So for example, we are aware that Yushi, the institution name variable is not consistent. So the institutional ID is consistent, but not the institutional name. So there's the cases where it's missing. And so we would just like to sort of add it into that data. So there's several other instances of this occurring where we need to just kind of manipulate the data before it comes into our system so that it's more usable for us as researchers. So that's a brief overview of what phase four may look like. More information on this will be coming soon. It's set to begin on June 3rd, so pretty soon. So, questions? All right. The next topic is the research agenda. So for 2019, I'm going to present the draft UDRC 2019 agenda. And I will send this to all our partners in an email that will be coming after this meeting. So the current items are prenatal care and early childhood education, parental education and child education attainments. This is looking at the education of the parents through the birth certificates and seeing the child's educational attainments associated with, you know, that kid. Concurrent enrollments, AP and honors enrollment, and post-secondary outcomes. So seeing those individuals who had those types of classes and seeing what their post-secondary outcomes looked like. A profile who stays in the state after graduation from post-secondary education. Wage discrimination in Utah. So we're being really... we would like to look at, hopefully, the birth certificate, since it has gender, and being able to combine that with other information, and then finally into the workforce. So the birth certificate is going to give us a lot of information that we didn't have prior, that we could link it to such things as experience and stuff like that. And so we could actually maybe look at the wage discrimination in Utah with more detail than before. So looking at parents who are in public assistance on the outcomes for their children, parental age at first birth and outcomes for these children, and then TANF customers from 10 years ago who completed higher education and their outcomes. So those are the current UDRC 2019 draft agenda items. I will be sending this out to our partners. And then what I'm asking for at this point is this begins the process of you guys coming up with ideas for 2019, delivering them to us, and then for us to be able to present a finalized or formalized UDRC 2019 agenda, and we have to do this because SB 194 says we need to report before July of 2019 to the Education Committee the research priorities for the year. And so what I'm asking, and I'll include this in the email, that if you guys could please deliver these research ideas by June 14th. So that gives you, that gives the partners a whole month to come up with some research ideas. So questions, comments, concerns about the UDRC 2019 research agenda.
Is Elena on the email too? Should she be on the email?
She will, of course, be on the email. Okay, yes.
Has USBE provided you with their research priorities?
Hey,
Jeremiah, this is Scott.
Yes.
And I heard Whitney's question.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got to lay out the process a little bit. Our board doesn't currently have a meeting scheduled for July. So this is fine, though. You know, send me the list, send us the list. I'll get it on a committee. We have our committees are meeting in June to make a recommendation or, you know, to start this process of identifying those projects. I'll work with board leadership to ensure that our board members have, you know, an opportunity to vet this. And then staff, you know, I'll work with staff too for their ideas as part of the superintendent's meetings that happen. The point of this is that you know, the research agendas or recommendations or what have you from USBE have to be vetted by our board.
Yeah.
So while we'll be able to give you input by June 14th, there's probably going to be some, you know, caveat of subject to further development by the board, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No problem. Yeah.
So I just want to
Yeah, I think what we have to deliver for the Education Intern Committee is sort of here are our sort of our research priorities, and I think we are well within our right to make changes to those research priorities after the fact.
So, okay. Yeah. Okay, that's awesome. Thank you, Whitney. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you have something to do?
No, I was just wondering if anything had been done. I wasn't aware, just so I could. I didn't know you were on the phone. Let you or Albert and others know that, you know, we need to provide something. I did have a question on whether the outcomes outlined in the original UDA grant were of priority to USAID in using UDRC to answer those questions, but that's something that our board and leadership can decide.
Yeah, and I think
we'll facilitate that, all that.
Yeah.
In the process.
And I think Albert is on top of that too. I think
he is.
Or at least that would probably be a question more for Albert, you know. So
no, we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's tracking.
Right. So just to be clear though, the list that I've just detailed, we're not looking for approval of those items. We're looking for you guys to come up with ideas to include in this list as well. And then the process And the process moving forward after this is we do what we did with the other research agenda, meaning we look at I think we had like three or four different criteria, so then we prioritize them. So saying these are the things that we're going to be working on first and other. And as our researchers become available, we will then assign those as we see fit.
Are you intending to share those criteria? Like how you score, how you prioritize. You said three or four different criteria. I'm wondering about what those are.
Last time we included everyone in them. And so it's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
It's been like a year and a half or something like that since the last research agenda.
So I'm just wondering about, what those criteria are. If you look at, estimated duration of the study, estimated costs, and estimated benefits.
We don't know. We
tweak it this year as well.
Yeah.
Because before we had even developed one, so
I think we looked at things like, do we have the data, and is it easily accessible? We had things like the audience, what level of audience would be like, the UDRC RA3 came up really high because one of the things is that it's at a state level, right? And so there could be, people pretty high up who are interested in looking at that, like legislators and stuff like that. Okay, research agenda done. The next item is Bagels and Research, which is occurring June 20th. And Brittany is going to provide a quick update on that. So.
All right, I'll give it over. So like Jeremiah said, this is our event that we're hosting on June 20th from 8 to 11 a.m. This is at the Capitol in the Copper Room. You guys should have all received invites. If you didn't, let me know. So at this event, we're going to be sharing all of our new research, so more in-depth presentation of what you heard today. We'll also be sharing our data narratives, which are our online data visualizations that will be released. And like Jeremiah's mentioned, we'll be sharing the external researcher data request tool, actually taking participants through it, helping them log in and know how to use that system. So far, we've had a lot of great interest. We have 65 RSVPs. We have representation from all the partners. We also have some policy and research institutions who are coming, such as Kempsey Gardner, Utah Foundation, Utah Education Policy Center. We also have some other government representatives from Governor's Office of Management and Budget, DTS, in Salt Lake City. And we also have some community partners who are RSVP'd as well. We also reached out to the institutional research staff at universities and colleges, and we've had a few of them RSVP as well. So we are nearing capacity. We have a few seats left, so if you know of people who really want to come, just encourage them to RSVP as soon as possible.
What about legislators?
We did send it out to Milner and Andrig. We haven't seen anything come back from them. We do plan on sending out the agenda next week, and we'll include them on it, so they have another chance to RSVP for that.
You may want to save me two seats anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's it on the event. It should be a good one. We're excited for it.
That's great.
I, so
selfishly am going to miss it. I'm going to be gone, but are there going to be information, slides, or anything that you're going to share?
Yeah, we can plan on after the event. We can share the documents that we shared at the event, too.
Yeah, I'd like to see them.
Okay. Sure, yeah. And speaking of documents, go ahead.
This is Scott. I don't think I did get an invite for June 20th, so can you check on that?
That was on purpose, Scott.
Yeah. Yeah, quite a bit intentional.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, we'll get that sent to you.
What appropriations committee did your funding come through? I can't remember. It didn't come through social services, though. I don't think it did. Was it education? Or?
No, it came through independent.
I thought it was education.
Was it education?
Was it just a bill? Was it just a bill?
Yeah, SB 194. Yeah. We have to report to the education interim education committee. That's the one we have to report to. I don't know about your question.
Well, you know, the appropriations committees control all the money.
Right.
And for workforce services, for example, and social services, which is with health. And so they often deal with funding issues for a variety of programs, even those that were established by statute. Sometimes it's smart to invite the chairs of the Appropriations Committee. Probably not so important right now for you since you already have a statute, but at some point I would think about the chairs, the Senate and the House chairs, because they could be important in future funding or requests for additional funding, things like that.
Sure. Okay. In addition to what Bernie has provided an update on as far as bagels and research is concerned, I would like to stress the fact that the Department of Education is coming here on the day before, so for a site visit, and specifically because we have this grant, obviously, from to create the state longitudinal data system. And so they do periodical site visits of their grantees. And so ours is happening on the 19th, and then on the 20th, they're going to be staying longer just to come and view our bagels and research events. So,
do you know who they are specifically?
Yes, yeah. So I would say that Albert has all that information, and you're more than welcome to speak with him about that. So do you have a question? No, good.
I was going to ask you the research reports, the actual documents are being peer-reviewed right now. Will the data narratives be complete by the bagels and research? Will they be done, period? Meaning, all right?
Just the first one will be done.
Okay.
So for the outcomes for working students.
Okay.
The other one, RA3, we will be showing a preview of that data visualization.
Okay.
That one will be
final. A pretty in-depth mock-up of it. So. So one last thing I wanted to update, which is not included here on the roof of the agenda, was that the UDRC won the Best of Utah award for the UDRC system. So we actually applied for two reasons. One was for the P20 metrics for the best use of data, and the other one was for the UDRC system. So actually, I'm not really quite sure what we won for. Do you know?
I don't.
Okay. Not really sure which one of the two we won for, but we did. So the digital summit, which is happening next month, I believe, we will John Pierpont, our executive director, will be accepting the award for the UDRC. So just a heads up there.
Great.
So yeah, good news. So. Okay.
No public comments. We don't have any. In attendance, Gail did just hand me a note. If it's possible to schedule the next meeting right now, I know we're kind of on a quarterly basis now. Does that work for everyone? Hopefully, it's not too bad. Looking at August 13th, it's a Tuesday at 11, same time, so essentially about 3 months out. Is there anyone that doesn't work for? And we can send a doodle poll out after if it gets...
That's good.
Okay. That's good to me.
Okay.
This is a good place to meet at.
Okay.
Compared
the parking.
To the parking, yes.
Yeah, the parking's an issue.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're good. I mean, if we get conflicts, we'll try to reschedule. So. Okay, does anyone have anything before we adjourn? Okay, thanks everyone for coming.
Thank you. I just accidentally sent an invite. I went to put my calendar and it brings up the old meeting, so I clicked yes, but I
didn't. Oh, you get a horse.
So we'll see. I'll say no. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I apologize.
No worries.
Yeah.
I hate it, man.